This is RSVNB Update, episode 353, recorded Friday, March 23rd, 2012. Boom! Headshot! Hello, everybody. We're here with this week's RSVNB update. Mr. Shane 12088 and
J1, J2, J3. I don't know if I should have said that.
Name's such an easier name to type out. J1, J2, J3.
Yes, and as I recall, you typed it wrong once, and it was actually pretty funny.
Yeah, well, that's to be expected. Typos are okay. But my typing's gotten better since OS X Lion, because it auto-corrects everything. But anyways, we're here to talk about RuneScape updates this week. So we're going to try and give you a bit of insight into this new update this week. Actually, one tiny update called the Backriminal Bolts. So these are bolts used for ranging. Unsurprisingly, not bolts that you would use to secure something like a cabinet to a wall, you know? So, yeah, when I was reading this, I thought, backriminal bolts? Maybe these are new kind of bolts for your POH.
You didn't read the behind... You don't remember the behind the scenes, did you?
Well, I didn't even remember this update until it came out, so I didn't even remember this part of the behind the scenes. It seemed like it was... such a small piece that just totally skipped my mind. But anyways, so these are new bolts for ranged, and the idea behind them is I think they're designed to try and attempt to balance the ranged part of the combat triangle. So, you know, I don't know if it'll be successful given the fact what the max hit is and everything, but first we're going to talk a little bit about what these bolts are and how you make them. First, you need to go talk to Mama Rimba, or Mammy Rimba, who is a known associate of Papa Mambo. And this woman is in Edgeville, just by the... What's the guy's name who sells the rune plate bodies on the border of Edgeville in the wilderness?
Azar, something like that.
Yeah, she's right next to him. So basically, you go there and you get more info about these bolts, and she's at this tree that you have to chop to get the logs. And of course, you can't chop her tree because that's her tree. So you need to go find the other trees, the Bloodwood trees, which are available throughout other places in RuneScape, areas that are known for death. So these areas include the Chaos Altar, north of Varrock in the wilderness, the demonic runes, where those greater demons are, up by the gate or the fence that cordons off free-to-play and members' wilderness, and south of the pirate hideout, which is in members' wilderness on your way to the wilderness agility course. Also, the Ritual Plateau, that ice snowy area from Ritual the Majorat, Soul Wars, and the Darkmire Arboretum, which is that place where we fought that tree in the branches of Darkmire. So there's six trees around RuneScape, and you chop these trees, and sometimes they give one log, sometimes they give more. I think the most I had from one of my trees that I chopped was three logs. So it's once again an artificially limiting piece of content, similar to the way that the sandstone is limiting, in that you can only have a certain amount per day. Which, of course, goes as a good thing because you need to get these in order to make the bolts, and only the finished product is tradable. So you can't just collect this and sell these on the Grand Exchange. In fact, if you go and you attempt to take these branches away from the tree area, they will disintegrate. Did you go chop any of these trees?
No, I did not. I can't fletch them.
So after you after you fletch them into the sticks, the bolts, you need to attach bolt tips. And you buy these bolt tips from Mommy Rimba. And then after...
Well, it's another money sink.
Because the bolt tips are pretty cheap, so it's not a money sink in the typical way that we think of a money sink. It's more along the lines of just buying a secondary ingredient that's relatively cheap. I think there's something like 50 GP each, if I remember correctly, from the price. And then after that, you can make a bit of a profit on the Grand Exchange, because the market average was about 470, I think I want to say, GP. So, and of course, mm-hmm. the first few days these came out, they were selling for way beyond that. Yeah, market price today is 497 GP. yeah, 497 each? GP per bolt.
That's a decent profit.
Yeah, it is for a bit of work. But, you know, you're going all over the world, so it's one of these daily things. You kind of have to pick and choose which ones you're going to do, because at this point there are just far too many daily things to do. Anyways, on to the combat aspect of this now. These bolts have a range strength of 125, which means that they're the strongest ranged bolt that currently exists in game.
You use a regular rune crossbow,
or the
don't you?
Crossbow. So you choose which one you're going to use, and of course you'd use the chaotic one if you have it, because it offers you a higher ranged attack bonus, which will therefore increase your max hit. Speaking of max hit, if you head on over to the RSPMB equipment calculator, I've set up a loadout for this that uses a hypothetical maxed ranged player using Pernix body and whatnot. And if you set your ranged level to 99 using, I don't know if there's any difference between targeting options, but we'll get there. Extreme ranging potion and leech ranged at max. Your max hit goes up to 434 with these bolts, assuming you were at maxed ranged attack boost and this ranged strength boost, and you're using the chaotic crossbow.
That sounds OP.
Well, you know, I don't think so. I don't think it's OP. I think that there is a specific place this was targeting. These were specifically targeting the magic people, which is good, because we all know that the ranged has always been the downside of the combat triangle since, well, practically since, yeah, forever. I think they might ranged might have been near the top when RS2 first came out, but when the ancient spells came out, all bets were off. But in any case, this is designed to, of course, target the magic people. You're still going to get torn to shreds by melee people if they're using, say, a rapier or a longsword. I don't know anybody who would do something like that in the wilderness, or even dragon claws. So it's not designed to go up against meleeers. This is specifically designed for magic, and you can see this by the three targeting options they give. So you could target someone's head. Yes, did you try it? And if you target their head...
It's just the same thing.
It's as where you would usually do accurate, rapid, or long range. They just changed what the titles are. So, yeah.
Really?
But there's no difference on the animation or anything.
I was hoping.
So it's not like you see bolts.
I was hoping for. I was kind
of
hoping for like the bazooka. I was hoping for the bazooka. You know, where if you did the sheep herder, remember?
That was the sheep herder part one.
Okay. I like that one where you get this
sheep.
You should have done that. Yeah, I mean, they could have done that. With this one, just like, you know, a 1 second cutscene of you taking a shot at the head or whatever. That would be nice, wouldn't it? You can see the guy's ugly graphical face.
Be good. But if you target their head, you have a one-third chance to slow their magic casting for the next 30 seconds. Hitting them again while the effect is in place has the same chance to reduce their magic accuracy by a percentage proportional to the damage hit. It's not stackable. So meaning you can hit them once, it'll slow their attack. Hit them again, it will make them less accurate. So once again, on the same magic idea here. Shots to the torso have a 1 in 4 chance of causing a bleeding effect, dealing 1 life point of damage per second for 60 seconds. So 60 life points total, which really isn't that much in the bigger scheme of things when you think about it, right?
Yeah, no, but I think it's more of a nagging thing. Especially, I would also maybe say that someone may just claw you and then take it out.
Yeah, that too.
But
also, I mean, if you were to work together, two people to work together, I can imagine combining this against a mage and then sending in, as you said, somebody to just hit and run with dragon claws. That would be a pretty effective strategy.
And if the effect is
active, it has the same chance to add an extra point of damage per second for the remainder of the initial duration, up to a maximum of 5. So I guess that would be up to five points of damage for 60 seconds, but that's diminishing returns. But in any case, it's a nice way to take some extra damage away. Okay.
Well, it's basically a shark.
True.
It wakes a guy shark. So the last one is a shot in the leg has a 1 in 3 chance of draining your opponent's run energy proportional to the damage dealt. If they're low on run energy, a successful hit has the same chance to bind them on the spot for 10 seconds. I actually think this one is can target meleeers a lot more.
But, because they need to be,
basically
need to be mobile in order to do their damage.
Mm-hmm. Basically, one other thing is, they can do the whole hit and run thing, a thing that you always hate, Shane. Hit the guy, pin him down, and then run back and do it again and repeat. The thing that I think may not be as effective is things like in Soul Wars, where the bandages actually heal your run energy, so you're not getting the full benefit from the shot. I think this kind of, it'd be great to try this out in Soul Wars or Castle Wars, but I think with the bandages, a lot of the fighters just null and void. Most would just spam the bandages anyway.
And also, with what you say, there was some question when this came out, will it work again in the PvP minigames? And the answer to that is yes. But they just act like regular bolts against NPCs, so don't expect to get any of these effects if you're using these bolts against an NPC.
So basically, this thing is straight up PvP. Right. So you think this is good?
I think it goes a long way to helping the ranged people get a balanced triangle compared to some of the other ranged updates we've seen, like the hand cannon, which I don't know if people use that, but that thing really isn't a good thing to be using because if you remember correctly, it has a chance to explode.
Oh, yes. People buy them. Yeah. I don't know why. But
so, in any case, I think it's a good update. The part I like the most is that the trees require a level of 93 fletching and 85 woodcutting, and you need to cut these trees yourself, and you need to fletch the bolts yourself. So, basically, the idea is that you're going to need the level
to use
it on the exchange. So it's the same idea as the potion flask update, whereas they're trying to get people to actually use their skills for some good. I don't have much faith that the actual people who are buying these bolts will be the ones that are actually making them, because people who were complaining about this update, there's one person complaining about this that, why is this set up like this? And it's a typical PvP type person who has maxed combat stats but totally horrible skilling stats, and these are the kind of people I just love when they get upset at these kind of updates.
I for one like the update too. like the fact that Range actually has the ability to actually hurt magic people. Even in Soul Wars, I see many times ancienters, you cannot compete. They put on Soul Split, and all of a sudden, your damage is nothing. At least here, he can do some decent damage
and
with
like,
them.
Like we were saying with the three headshots things, are always good. You do have the ability to hold them in place, and you just put huge magic defense bonuses on your armor, and there you go. You have a bit more defense against that. And use this, and if you use this loadout, I don't think anybody would be using full Pernix, but you can hit up to 434 if you were to kit yourself out to the max. In my welfare ranged gear, just basically Black Dragonhide and whatnot, snakeskin boots, I was able to hit in the low 30s, so it's not as though it's a horrible method, and you can get decent hits off it by just using basic gear. So, I mean, this is going to be arranged update for everybody to use, including the fact that it's 80 ranged, and as we all know, 80 ranged is relatively low on this scheme of things for a combat skill.
Yeah, kind of glad it is because I'm only 80, 84. 81.
So,
but you know, one thing I do like about this skill is that, you know, like I said before in Soul Wars, I'm hoping people will actually do is actually do more as a team based thing, start doing tag teams. You have to arrange your, like, say there's the annoying ancient on the other side. Well, you shoot him in the leg, pin him down. The melee guy from behind runs up, claws him. All right,
guy. By having your mage cast Confuse on him or something else to lower his stats. So,
yeah, that could do. And then you give him a tea bag. And then make sure you get a nice little cup for him too, with a nice piping pot of hot water.
Yep, that sounds good.
What? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and you know, I like the whole targeting idea, and I think this is the way combat's going to go in the future. Because if you think about it, the old way of attacking accurate, rapid, and long range. That makes sense for bows, but that doesn't make sense for crossbows because, you know, crossbows have a set way of firing. You don't have to load them manually. You can equip a crossbow to be automatic. So it makes sense to have this kind of option on this. You know, overall, a good update and, you know, good things come in small packages. So I'm not a PvPer, so I don't know if this is being embraced or being used in active PvP, but I hope it is. Anyways, with that, let's move on to some tweaks and fixes. Are there anything that you want to highlight in the tweaks and fixes?
Nah, everything else is very cosmetic. A tree is missing this shade, or a tree's out of place. Let's move it over here. That was pretty much it. Nothing that jumps out.
Yeah, I felt the same way. So, but in relation to last week, there's one thing, a little piece of errata that I do need to mention. Last week we were having issues wondering about whether or not our auras that were on sale were ones that were discounted. So it turns out that if you go to the loyalty program on the official RS wiki, you can enter that in, and they actually have a list of discounts. So, for instance, if you spend something on an aura, you can go to this list and show the refund table on the aura page, and it shows that, for instance, the Master Reverence aura used to cost 50,000, the new price is 36,500, and if you bought it, you got a refund of 13,500 loyalty points. So
they should not be giving refunds.
What's wrong with that?
Companies don't give refunds. Companies don't give refunds if you bought something the day before it went on sale.
You can bring your receipt in. I don't know if you guys do that in the US, but that's a typical good customer service here.
Wouldn't that be cheap?
It would be cheap if you're only saving $5. But if you're saving something more than 20%, why not, right? So, anyways, the link will be in the show notes to this at update.rsbaby.com. Next up is a little behind the scenes video of the creation of the Troll Invasion audio recording session. So you can take a look at this video and then just basically look at how what the voice actors for this actually look like. And, you know, they actually show the person voicing Lady of the Lake and she's doing the Lady of the Lake animations. And I do have to say that this is quite the professional production here to actually be using a voice acting studio for this. I mean, this is not something 2 years ago we would have seen Jagex doing, I don't think, right?
Well, 2 years ago, I don't think the idea of voice in this is, you know,
not even
possible.
So the fact that they're actually using a full-blown studio is a good thing. So I was pleasantly impressed when I saw this. So if you're interested in the way audio recording works and how the Troll Invasion was set up, you have a look through this video.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving along now. Players Gallery number 33. The winner this month was White Dragon by Dragon7350. What do you think of that one? It looks like the dragons deciding which city they're going to prey on. You see Falador, Barbarian Village in close proximity, Drainer Village, and the Wizard's Tower. So, you know, it's pretty good. I'll agree with that one. Second place is one called Come At Me, Bro. What? What do you think of it?
Nothing.
I don't get what this creature is here. Do you?
I'm trying to get it up. Snail?
Maybe, but what are these legs here?
There's no legs.
Yeah.
Oh, the guy's legs? Guy legs? Guy's wearing a kilt? Think about it. Guy's wearing a kilt. He's looking up to see everything. He's like, oh my god, I'm scared.
Is that why it's entitled Come At Me, Bro?
It's more of, you know, you want to fight me, come and fight me, but even though he's going to get his butt whoop.
Is that something you'd say? Come at me, bro?
No.
All right.
Not me. That's something Orange-chan would put on.
That sounds about right. So with that being said, let's just scroll down a bit and look at the one entitled Farming Skill Cape.
Of course. Why not?
Oh, it's actually in a real garden, too. That's amazing people can have flowers at this time of year. Are the flowers blooming yet there?
What makes you think it was made at this time of year?
Well,
it could have been last year, or the year before that. Or the year before that.
Still.
Inside, and there's a letter A on the bottom, so that's probably me, like the first draft or something.
Okay. Anyways.
What's the sea slug?
Sea slug?
Okay, never mind. Sea slug by Maskbone.
It's like a nice little watercolor kind of thing, I guess. Anyways. My favorite one is the White Dragon, which was the winner, and the Farming Skill Cape, unsurprisingly.
I don't want to hurt the
cow.
You don't
want to hurt
the cow? Yeah. That warrior is a vegetarian.
Which one?
It might be a ranging god. I don't want to hurt the cow by Ketra Thorn.
Oh.
On the right side, right above the sea slug.
Okay, I see. That cow looks like it's in need of some attention or something. Maybe it's a person that was transformed into a cow as a prank.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know where that's from. I won't say anything, but I'm pretty sure after I just said that, everyone knows where that is from, one way or another.
There's some people I'd like to turn into a cow, but we'll not discuss that here.
Why?
No, that was a moo.
Fart. That wasn't a moo. That was a fart.
Moo. Moo.
It sounded a little like a moo.
Anyways. We're going to move on now, so that's it for the Players Gallery. I don't know whether we should be saying that you start a Players Gallery with somebody saying, come at me, bro, or there's a cow that needs attention, or a dragon's going to incinerate half the world. I don't know. A good Players Gallery, nonetheless.
Mm.
All right, so we're on to questions now. We got 6 questions this week. No audio questions, unfortunately, so you want to read the first one?
Okie dokie, this one's from FireRain401. Dear host, do you listen to podcasts at times 2 speed with the music/iPod app on OS on iOS? Well, interesting fact, the times 2 speed on iOS isn't exactly times 2 speed, it is about 1.5. Also, what do you think the world would be like if Oprah was president? Love, firing for oh.
Right. So 2x.
One. There you go.
No, I don't use 2x speed.
I don't listen to many podcasts anyway, so I don't care.
Yeah,
for
well,
it.
I mean, it,
and I don't well, have a Mac, so iPod, doesn't matter to me
primarily.
My iPod is so low, it doesn't even support it.
You know, I think I tried 2X once, and it was good for getting through things faster, but it's just not as leisurely for me. And I find that, it just feels like it's a more natural discussion if it's at regular speed rather than 2X speed. Because if we talk really fast like this, does it really make sense that you want to listen to this podcast and enjoy a leisurely experience? Or does it sound like we're rushed and maybe we want to get through this so we can all get on to something else? Or maybe we should just move on to the second part of this question about what we think Oprah would be like if she was president. So, Trekkie, what do you think Oprah would be like if she was president?
Shane, slow down. Don't be a girl.
I'm just speaking at 2x speed right now.
That's speaking at 2x speed, you're talking like a girl who's trying to argue with you and you can't get a word in.
I don't think so. Anyways, go on this one since you're right.
What do you think if Oprah was president? I honestly doubt she would ever be president, and I think if she does become president, she'll basically have an army of women with her anyway, and I like to see any guy try to argue against an army of women when it's all that time of the month. And yes, I did just say it.
I don't think that's a particularly professional response.
Well, I don't trust anything that bleeds for 3 days and doesn't die.
I honestly don't. I don't think she would do such a thing. But if she was, I think it would be pretty similar to the current Obama administration on social issues and whatnot on the homeland. And I'd see her picking up the same kind of Ron Paul stance on any kind of foreign intervention, meaning really doesn't want to have any foreign wars or anything like that going on, and that they're not real wars, I guess you'd say, based on what the Ron Paul idea is on that. And I think the U.S. would become more of a humanitarian aid state under her watch, if that was the kind of thing. So, personally, I don't think that she would be the best choice to fill the job.
No. It would be like the, the theater artist who was running for mayor of San Francisco last year. And I was like, your qualifications means nothing.
And what happened to that candidate?
I don't know. All I know was we got Ed Lee back in as mayor of San Francisco.
Okay. And what's his stance?
On what? On which one?
Oh, okay.
Liberal.
That's typical.
Ish.
That's typical of the left coast. Anyways, moving on. Yeah, the left coast. Because, you know, if you look at a map, California, Oregon, Washington, and BC, if you look at a map that's straight, like a regular projection, it's on the left-hand side of the continent on the paper. Hence the left coast, and it also makes sense with what you guys believe out there.
I think Shane deep down really, really hates me. He just does not want to admit it.
Anyways, next question from Halo Dude 101. Dear host, assuming you have a clan, have you ever used a clan citadel? My clan requires weekly upkeep, and over the past couple of weeks, I've noticed that it's fairly decent XP in the chosen skill. What are your thoughts on this? Also, what did you guys do for the bonus XP weekend? I did a farming run and got 189k farming XP at almost two levels. Thanks, Hunt.
Woot!
So you can take the Citadel part.
Alright, have I used the Clan Citadel? Yes, my Clan Citadel is currently tier 6. We're trying to get it to tier 7. What I like about it is that I'm getting somewhat free summoning experience, even though it's relatively very, very little. But, you know, in a way, it's an okay place to train because nothing really disappears. It's kind of like chopping wood at the mining and wood cutting spots now, where, you know, it disappears after like 5 or 6 swings instead of every swing that you make. I like doing the smithing one because I get some free smithing experience in there. And yeah.
Okay. So you think it's decent XP?
Hey, you use the rings, yeah, but I don't have time to really bother with the rings unless I'm actually skilling something. But if you're using the rings, go for it. It's actually pretty good because you get an extra, roughly, depending on your level, 70k XP per ring per week on whatever plot you're using. So that's okay. That's good. That's decent.
And bonus XP, do we want to do this now or do we want to save it till what we've been doing section? All right, so we'll listen it. On later on to the what have we been doing section for what we did during bonus XP weekend.
Yes, now you have to listen. Now you have to listen to the whole thing.
All right, next one.
All right, question is from Ranging God. Do you think older bosses like KQ and Dag Kings need an item drop upgrade? Also, do you think RS needs more team huntable bosses? So, Shane, first part, do you believe they should have an item drop upgrade?
No, you keep those exactly like they are. Because...
Really? Even though things like a dragon chain is kind of worthless-ish now?
Because the idea behind it is that when RS2 first came out, the KQ was one of the biggest bosses out there. So was the King Black Dragon, and so were the Dagonoth Kings. And these bosses were so iconic during the day that they would be known for, let's go get this team together and go kill the KQ and hope for a dragon chain and split the 35 million amongst 5 to 6 people. And that was big back in those days. And this was the days back before like all this grand exchange flipping business and whatnot that really is an okay way to make money, but really it's not a decent way to make money compared to the back in the old days. So I would keep those exactly the way they are right now because that's going back to the very history of RS2, and changing it would be disrespecting the history of RuneScape, much like removing the Romeo and Juliet quest was. So I would keep them like that just for the history reason, but of course you could upgrade them with new graphics, new sounds, and whatnot to make them, bring them into the modern world. And, you know, maybe you do something similar to the Vine Whip thing, because we all already know that the chain has hit rock bottom, so it would make sense. Why not have some kind of add-on that you can add to the dragon chain to make it more, what's the word I'm looking for? Worthy, I guess?
Usable.
So...
How much is it right now? It's 3.4
yeah,
mil right
and,
now.
And, you know, that's a fair price, but the drop rate is kind of low for that. Dragon Hatchet from the Dead Kings is 1.1 right now, so, you know, you could improve these by just giving them maybe a little attachment, for example. Something, give the hatchet an attachment to make it a little bit better for woodcutting, maybe. I don't know what that would be. Improve the dragon chain a bit by giving it, making it look a bit more menacing, and give it maybe some kind of special set effect or something. I don't know. Something like that. So I'd keep it exactly as it is.
Okay. Well, I don't think we should change their upgrades, their drop updates either. They drop what they're supposed to drop, but, you know, I think what thing they should... I don't know. I really don't know what to think on this one. I just don't think they should change it. There's already enough junk all over RuneScape, and we don't need more.
That's my thinking exactly.
What about the second part? Do you believe there should be more team huntable bosses?
Well, you know, I'm not against team huntable bosses. What I am against is team huntable bosses that become a main way of making money in the game, much like Nex is now. You get a team together and you're essentially doing these Nex missions to get huge amounts of money and whatnot, and they're just practically a money-making machine. Which, you know, that's okay, but I don't think that should be the sole purpose of doing these boss fights, because if you ask anyone here, that's exactly why they're going to one of these boss fights. It's not because they want the team experience or anything. I mean, how in-depth can you get with the current RuneScape combat system to have a team experience like that, you know? I mean, it's RuneScape. You're not going to have a dynamic team experience with this. It's just basically hack and slash. There's not much involved in the combat, and at the very least, you're the biggest challenge you'll face once you have the thing down, or the movements of it down, and you know exactly what gear to bring, is dealing with the server lag issues, because you have to wait for a server response when you're going to eat. So really, it's not a dynamic thing. I think what they need to do in order to make boss hunting better is, first of all, come up with a better way of doing combat, and secondly, make it so that there's some kind of sandboxing mechanism so that you don't need to wait for a server response in order to eat or turn prayers. And now those two things, combined with some interesting bosses that would allow you to drop maybe some kind of a token or something, and then purchase an upgrade for an existing set of armor, maybe a Bandos armor or a Barrows armor or something like that. Now, that would be interesting. So, that's my thoughts on Team Huntable Bosses.
And basically, worst comes to worst, you just grab a ton of people with the dark bow and dragon arrows, and everybody fires it. It was a special attack.
Yeah, and
kill it instantly.
That's the thing we were talking about. RuneScape combat isn't exactly the most involved, so that's unfortunately the way it's working. All right. Next question is from Maremska.
Your turn.
Hello, Shane and Trekkie. Maremska is back from holidays, well, since last week. How is bonus XP weekend? I managed to gain 30-plus levels in all skills over 50. Once again, we'll cover bonus XP weekend later on, so keep listening. Second part, when would you think combat gear would rise again, as I have a few things invested during the special time weekend? Also, what is your favorite midnight snack for just when you're a bit hungry? Call me crazy, but mine is cereal. Thanks. Maremska.
When will you think combat gear will rise again? Month. That's usually,
well,
usually
depends
how it's
what
been.
Kind of combat gear we're
after
talking
a month,
about.
It'll be... Oh, if he's trying to flip them, I want to say Barrows.
Yeah, that could be. But, you know, I think combat gear is probably going to go up before the summer. We always see this trend with bonus XP weekend where people sell their combat gear before bonus XP weekend to put the money into skills. And of course, if you look at our graphs on the Grand Exchange portfolio thing here, you can just, for example, take a look at the Bandos chest plate on March 6th, it was 14.9 mil. In the span of time to March 10th, it dropped to 12.9. So that's a 2 million drop in about a week. Well, less than a week, almost a week. And right on the 16th of March, it hit 12 million. And recently, it's rebounded itself to about 12.6. So this is a typical trend with bonus XP weekend. So, you know, this is the thing I do not like about bonus XP weekend, because they announce this thing at the beginning of the month, right? Mm-hmm. So people have two and a half weeks most times to prepare for it, raise money and whatnot, and sell it off and get cash, which in turn causes the combat items to go down in price. Are we correct in that? You with me so far? Okay.
Yeah, sir.
So, and then after that, people put all their potions, bars, whatever they made during bonus XP weekend on the market, flooding that market, and those go down as well. So people get this money back, and it takes a while for this to recover to go back up in price. I remember the first bonus XP weekend when we didn't have free trade, and the armor went all the way down at bonus XP week, and it didn't come up until a good 2.5 months later. I'm hoping the recovery will be a bit quicker this time. But for me, I'm betting in mid-May we'll see the prices come back to their summer level, because I've been around since 2004, and pretty much every summer, combat gear has went up in price. Because, you know, there's more people playing, they want to do combat, people need to buy stuff, there's people coming off their school term hiatuses. So, you know, it's just a negative side effect of bonus XP weekend and what I was talking about earlier, and the fact that so many people do these bosses. It's just become a way of making money and putting all these things on the exchange, which really isn't decent for the economy. So, two things to...
Wouldn't you like to be able to regulate the market?
No, I don't want to regulate the market. There's these... there's these limits for, you know, buying things and whatnot nowadays. So you can only buy, I think it's 400 battle staves an hour. Does that sound right? Or is it 100 an hour? I'm not sure what the limit is. Something like that. But there's these limits in place that are just stupid. You don't, if you're going for free trade, you don't put these limits on the market.
Well, it's only limited.
Yeah,
to
Yeah, I know, but who uses, who
more.
Has bulk quantities of items available in this day and age in their bank?
Lots of people, if they're willing
yeah,
to slog it out.
I mean, people just don't go to the trouble of that for lots of items because, well, the GE does it instantly. But my fix for that would be, as I mentioned in the previous question, to make the boss drops have some kind of token and then use these tokens to upgrade other armor in the future, or you save up these tokens and you buy these armors from a vendor somewhere, and then that armor just becomes non-tradable and it's really a non-issue for that. But as for bonus XP weekend, I would like to see bonus XP weekends announced on a Friday. You log into the game and you say, hey, this little thing says XP plus in the corner, so it's bonus XP weekend. That's, in my view, the way bonus XP weekend should be. Bonus XP weekend should not be announced in advance. They should not be announced in a news post. They should just be announced in-game when you log in.
Actually, what most other MMOs do, they announce it like roughly on Wednesday, 2 days before the actual thing during
and
the
you
weekend.
Know that, I think that would work if the RS economy wasn't so easy to manipulate.
Well, you got to blame all those merchant plans, man.
So, and, you know, that's why I say it should just be whenever you log in.
We should give a little advance warning, but not like. But then again, nowadays we know when to expect it because they haven't changed the date in the last 2 years.
If I was
so, we know when it's coming.
I would hold the next bonus XP weekend on the first weekend of July and not tell anyone about it.
No. What they should do is put it on like the first day when everybody goes back to school. I guarantee you people are going to be angry as hell.
That would work too, but just as long as it's not announced, that's the biggest thing.
Well, mostly everybody
knows that's
about
why I'm
it
saying
now,
it
so
needs
everybody
to be
just
random.
Up before.
I mean, what they did, I thought we were going down the right track when they announced those things. When the bot nuke happened, where you were able to get double dungeoneering XP and double dungeoneering tokens when that happened. I thought that was, during the bot nuke. I thought that's the path we were going down to for future bonus events, but apparently not.
I think they should do those things more, make it very specific.
I was just saying that would be the best way to do it, especially just give bonus XP, have a bonus XP combat weekend, have a bonus XP primary skill weekend, woodcutting, fishing, mining, have a bonus XP secondary weekend, etc. You know? Just random it.
Uh-huh. I actually would love to have dungeon
again. And to
dungeon
quote Bill
again.
Clinton, it's the economy, stupid.
Oh, so you do like liberals.
I actually was very fond of Clinton, actually. That's why I wanted his wife... No, I said I was fond
not?
Of him. That's why I wanted his wife to win in 2008.
She's actually more conservative anyway, but you know that already.
Anyways, so I'm sorry that just went into a huge rant about the economy, but I just don't like the way that bonus XP weekend is held, and I was giving you a bit of an explanation of why combat gear is tanking.
All right. Shane, why don't you get this one? This is more directed to you anyway.
Read it.
Okay, this is for Marketing 22. Is there a way you can make it so that we can see people's RuneScape name on Skill of the Month? Also, is there a reward for getting Skill of the Year? Is it Skill of the Year?
Where have you been for the last 3 years?
Obviously not listening to podcasts as much because I've been busy.
Okay. First off, yes, you already can do that. And it's very simple to do. All you do is you hover over the table row. So, for instance, I'm hovering over marking 22 right now, and it says RuneScape name marking 22 wins 2. So far, you have 3,132,032 XP in 2012 so far. Aura has XX Aura underscore XX. No wins so far. So, you just basically hover over someone's name in the table, and that'll show you their RuneScape name. And as for Skiller of the Year, all you get is the Skiller of the Year title in the end of year Informer Roundup, and you get the competition rank for the month of January, just like you do if you win a Skill of the Month at any other time. But,
yes. And Shane should not be so cheap and offer a cash reward.
Alright, there's a story behind this.
Alright, kiddies, gather around.
Back in the day when Skill of the Month first came out, it was a little operation run by Creepy and myself. He would set up a spreadsheet at the beginning of the month, take in names, take in XP and whatnot, and do it manually. Later on, we replaced them with the Skill of the Month thing. And what we did during that time was we did have an RSBNB Events Crew account on RuneScape. And this account was in charge of holding drop party items and whatnot. And that account also held a bit of money. And this money was money people donated to us. And what we would do each month, I forget what the number was, but we would set up a certain amount of money each month. And that person would win that Skill of the Month. And then second place and third place would get something as well. So this went away, of course, when free trade stopped because, you know, you couldn't give money out anymore. So we just never brought that back after free trade. And, you know, I think we don't want to ask people to donate to something that they're not necessarily going to be a part of. I don't know what the plans are for the events crew, if that's going to have anything to do with that. But, yeah, so there used to be a cash reward, but we're not doing cash rewards anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, another interesting feature about Skill of the Month. Let's say you want to find somebody's XP who is relatively low in the graph. You can actually click on the row for that table, and it will highlight their dots on the graph. So if you're having trouble seeing them with the rest of the points in there, just click that and it'll highlight the points. I'm quite proud of that system. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Marking 22. Our last question this week is from Endeavor. What are your predictions for the Mauritania task effects? This includes leg armor and active effects. So this is the effects after you complete the task set.
Mm-hmm. Well, my predictions, I want to say you probably get more stuff from the farming patch. Maybe a little slight. Well, you won't get slight. Maybe like a better chance of farming pad and the mushroom one, less chance of gas hitting you. Maybe slightly. Maybe what's the Shades of Morton? That little the pyramid, the temple thing, the temple. Maybe get a little bonus from making it. That's all I can think of. Maybe able to burn the shades a little bit easier.
Okay.
Probably a teleport as well. I want to say just be a teleport.
Okay, that might be interesting. To Martin, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, I want maybe also it'd be another way of speaking to ghost. Or give you the ability to speak to ghost without you having the ghost amulet.
Do you have any other ones?
That would be useful. You? What about you?
For me, I think there's going to be a couple of things that are going to be definite. One, probably a shorter path to the blood altar somehow. Okay. Another one, faster leveling up of your people in the temple trekking minigame. I think that's going to be involved, getting one or numerous of them to level 99 as an elite. And just running through them as a regular reward, so there's something going to be there. Another thing maybe would be decreasing the rate at which the prayer drains when you're inside the Barrow's catacombs there, because you know your prayer drains when that thing appears on screen, right?
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I didn't say that because I would assume you have to wear the legs, and if you're doing combat, I don't think you want to have legs that won't do much.
But what they've been doing recently with these armors is they've been making these effects so you don't need to have them there. Like, for instance, on the Karamja set, you don't need to have your gloves equipped to get the reduced rate of cart traveling. You don't need to have your Framenic Sea Boots equipped in order to bank at Lunar Island without getting arrested. So, I mean, they can do these set effects now without actually having to have the item equipped. So I don't think that's going to be much of an issue. Other things we might see, a way to speed up grinding of bones and whatnot to make it a little bit faster so that it's more appealing compared to altars.
Double chance of learning it. Double chance of crushing him.
Like, I mean, it gives more XP using the Ecto for the prayer, but it's slower because you need to crush the bones and then get the slime. So maybe they'd speed that up a bit because people just use the altars now. But if this was an elite reward, maybe then they could divert some people to use this as their prayer method.
Oh, and maybe having all those ecto tokens go direct to your bank instead of having to talk to the guy every once in a while. But, you know, one other thing, I would like to see a use for the ecto tokens, because after doing, you know, lots of people are still grinding bones and everything, and except for the occasional penguin run, there's no reason to have the tokens at all. Hopefully we can use them again in the future.
Yeah, that'd be good. Who knows? Maybe you'll need ecto tokens for some task in the set.
I'm trying to figure out is wonder if you can wear like every one of those diary items and wear them all at once, have like some crazy special
effect.
Yeah,
well,
what
are we missing right now?
I don't know what it would be.
We got the Seer's headband. We got the Fremenic sea boots. We got the Karamja gloves. We got the Varrock plate body. We got the Falador shield. We got the Drainer ring.
We have the Ardonian cape.
So we're just missing the legs.
A necklace spot.
And weapon. So we got three more of them left.
Yeah, so it would be interesting to actually see them use them all at once and have some, you know, bonus with it.
Yeah, but I think we might be a couple off from that still. But in any case, I think there might also be something with the Slayer Tower to maybe give you I don't know. I don't want to say 10%, but maybe somewhere between 2 and 5% boost on Slayer XP.
I just don't know what they can do with the Slayer Tower, though. Except maybe, I don't know, find a shortcut through the wall.
Maybe.
I can't find anyway. Maybe they'll have more Slayer monsters up top with the legs or something. Be a new door that would open.
Some kind of magical thing.
Let's see. Free butter scotch cake mushrooms. What was it? Was it butter? What's the name of it?
Morcella mushrooms.
Butter something?
For the paper noodles?
Maybe get like free mushrooms from somebody.
Maybe.
Uh-huh. Maybe get free mushrooms from somebody there. Free raw beef. You know, people are still use. Some people use the gold chance for leeches still.
Maybe a bit lessening of the swamp decay effect when you're in the swamp.
Well, if you have the sickle, you don't have to worry about it at all.
Yeah, that's true. Anyways, it should be interesting to see what's coming up next week. But, you know, I hope somebody out there is writing all these down so they can post them as a checklist, because I wasn't writing these down. So you write all these down as a checklist, and then whichever one of us gets the most of them right, we should win a prize.
Oh, you give me a red tiny hat, Shane? All right, you'll give me one, right?
What'll you give me?
A bucket.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for your questions this week. That's it for today. Would be nice to have some audio questions for next week, so please do send those in. You can mail them to questions@rsbnb.com. Phone them into the Google Voice number, 571-572-2632, or leave us a voicemail on Skype. Just send it to the username rsbnbupdate, no punctuation or capitalization. All right, so tech news. So there's this social network that's called Twitter. What's Twitter? But Twitter turned 6 years old this week. The first accounts were registered on March 21st, 2006. And it was initially called Twitter, TWTTR, designed specifically for sharing status updates from your phone and what you're doing and sharing it with your friends. And, you know, doesn't that seem simple compared to what it's become?
I really don't care for social networking sites anyway.
Yeah, we know that.
Unless my job requires me to have one, I don't care. And even with my job, with my internship, I had to update their Facebook and Twitter accounts. I kind of hated it. I was like, oh, really? I gotta chat with these stupid people here? Ugh.
Well, you know.
It wasn't just people asking a health question. It was people who were obviously trolling. And I guarantee you, kids are sick.
Well, I agree. I'd agree with you on mine. I mean, the vast majority of people, normal people on Twitter, don't know what they're tweeting. And it's just pollution when you look at it. The intellectual capacity is not there. So, I mean, don't rely on the trending list for your daily jollies. Bet is to follow people that you find interesting. Like right now, for example, trending in Canada, John Bishop, James Corden, Enze Ifnokitim, Ask Austin. Okay, never mind. There are much of a bunch of other regular things. Nothing strange right now. In any case, I mean, it's become more than it was supposed to be. I think for the vast majority of people, Facebook has eclipsed it. I think lots of people use Facebook rather than Twitter. Personally, I don't see the point to a user posting on Twitter anymore, because it just seems as though Twitter is dominated by two types of accounts. One account being the promotional account that you see businesses have and whatnot, promoting new products, new stories, same kind of thing. That's what the news organizations go. And the second type of Twitter users is of course, the celebrity, which we all know people who have done that before. So,
but. You know, the thing that drives me nuts is that we have people who update their Twitter account or Facebook account with something really, really personal. And people are saying, so how come the entire world knows about this except for your own family?
Yes, yes, yes.
It's one of those things where it's like, you know, Twitter and Facebook is making common sense less common. You know how it is, Shane. You're on the bus, and suddenly, like, you see everybody on the phone now, and you're talking to somebody who's twittering about what the person's eating. Like, I could honestly care less if I want to know what you ate for breakfast.
What's going to be happening one day? All these tweets you're seeing on the bus, all those tweets are going to be aggregated locally by some Twitter client, because you know you do have the option of sending a location when you tweet. So maybe it's going to become more local like that. I don't know, but I think if everything was happening now, I think it would have started out as a private network and then went public in terms of who can see it. Which, you know, as you said, the vast majority of people do not need to know what you're doing every hour. So, but I don't know. It's just turned into a whole Twitter thing about what Twitter is and whatnot. RSBNB has a Twitter username, RSBNB staff, if you want to follow it. What we do there is we tweet all the Informer articles, all the update stuff, and any other pertinent RSBNB info that you ought to know. So if you're on Twitter and you like following brands, follow RSBNB. Username RSBNB staff. But happy 6th birthday, Twitter. Let's see where you go in your second 6 years. All right, so next up. We all remember that the iPad was released last Friday, a week ago, on the 16th. And by Monday, Apple had sold 3 million of the units already. Previous iPad took 1 month to reach 1 million. So, explosive growth.
Mm-hmm. 3 million iPads. How much revenue is that, Shane? What's an average? What's the cost of the iPad now?
The regular iPad Wi-Fi 16 gigabytes is $499. If you add 3G, I think that goes up to $549. And if you increase the capacity, that goes up as well. So just assume $499 as a base price. And of course, that is US price. But you know, also, you can also buy the old iPad 2 if you're just wanting to get an iPad and save some money. So, I mean, they're going to keep selling iPads no matter what they do because they also got the cheaper version now, right? So.
Mm.
It's a good number for Apple, and quite frankly, it just shows Apple's dominance in this space because if you look at the other tablets that have tried to come out, none of them have been able to eat into that iPad market share. So I think nobody has managed to beat the iPad yet, and I'm not sure anybody will beat the iPad this year. Because if you look at the BlackBerry playbook, where's that? Where are all the Android tablets?
What is...
You know, I don't... People are going to maybe look at me strange for saying this, but I think the best run for the money that somebody's going to give the iPad is going to be a Windows 8 tablet later this year when Windows 8 is finally released.
And then we connect all the PCs together with Windows 8 and all that stuff.
Because you remember, the whole idea about Windows 8 is to give a mobile experience to the desktop and bring a bit of the desktop experience to the mobile side. So, that's my prediction on that.
So once again, it's going to be... So basically, once again, it's going to be Apple versus Microsoft.
Yeah, unless Google can do something. Because we got to remember that Google hasn't ever put out a Google-branded tablet, right? With Android on it.
Not their own.
So Google would need to do something like that, I think. But anyways, congratulations, Apple. And one of those iPads is in this house here.
Shane, quick count. How many Apple products do you have in your house
right
now? I didn't say that'd be all yours. Just saying, how many do you have in your house right now? Okay.
No, we don't need to count them down, Shane. Just know that
So
in this house,
you have
Apple
what?
And Linux quite outnumber Microsoft. The only Microsoft things in this house are the Xbox, my gaming computer, and my mom's computer. Everything else is pretty much Apple.
Nerdy, nerdy boy. Nerdy, nerdy boy.
So, Windows 8 powered Ford Mustang with Xbox and Kinect. What do you think of this?
Let me see. Microsoft, together with West Coast Customs, have put together an unusual creation. A 2012 Ford Mustang, albeit with the 1967 replica body and black finish. Let's see, first project car, the Windows Phone integration lets you find, unlock, and start the car via a Viper smart start app. I can't try saying that 10 times fast, Shane. The car comes with 4G and a hotspot mode, no carrier listed yet, that gives multiple devices Wi-Fi along access on the go. The 4G network connects to Bing Maps, Viper Smart Start system, and a cloud-based data store in Windows Azure, for tracking telemetry like GPS location, speed, engine RPMs, and fuel level.
So,
all right, now let's throw in the computer virus and watch this thing go to hell.
What if the software in this thing crashes? Because you know it is Microsoft based, right?
Yes. It's Windows based, and you know what happens if you know someone's using the Wi-Fi and decides to look up something bad and it gets a virus. Suddenly your entire I don't think you can reboot your entire
you
car.
Need to pull
and
over
you could,
to the
it won't
side
be cheap.
Of your highway, put all the windows up, turn the key off, get everyone out of the car, lock the door, then you get back in, unlock the doors, put the key in, start it up, and then you have to reopen all your windows.
Actually, you know, here's a funny what is it? Customer service thing, kind of somewhat related to that. You know how on over on the Star Trek Online, we have our friends over there on TS, and one of them used to be a customer service representative for some tech company. And he got so sick of this lady who was completely yelling into his ear and not following his instructions and was so computer illiterate. He said this, "All right, here's what you do. Your TV has been ionized. What I want you to do is go to the kitchen, cut a potato in half, rub them together, and then roll one side to the mouse and the other side to the TV. Then do this for 10 minutes and then call me back."
And what's the idea of this?
The idea is to deionize the TV and it was supposed to be plugged into the computer somehow.
I don't get it, but he got fired for that?
This lady was basically yelling. Oh yeah, but he wanted to quit anyway, so that's even better because then he got unemployment benefits.
That's the problem with unemployment benefits. Anyways.
No, that's a problem when companies treat you like crap.
This is a topic for another day, but you know, we said might crash and everything, but you know, it's Windows Phone. It's a whole lot simpler than a computer, hopefully, so I don't think we'd be seeing any kind of hard software crashes like you'd see on Windows, but in any case, it's an interesting idea, and you know, I think Ford's been at the forefront of this whole technology in the car thing, which is a good thing, and it makes sense, because if you look at airplanes and since the 1990s, the airplanes have been becoming more and more automated with all their autopilots and auto landing systems and whatnot. Why not cars? Why not bring those same kind of things that the airplanes use, like autopilot and auto land, to cars?
Well, for one thing, I don't think there's any traffic
up in the skies. You ever look at one of those maps?
Pretty regulated with that.
Traffic, with all those planes in the sky above the U.S.
Yeah, but then you never have anybody, you know, like say, because it's going to make a sudden left turn without signaling, and then cut you off.
But I mean, the point is that you can do the same kind of thing on the roads if all the cars are talking to each other, right?
You can't predict people, though.
If you have a sensor in front of you and you see this car is going to be doing that, a computer can react faster than a person and apply the brakes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think this is interesting, but it's also of note here that there's two dashboard skins for the car. A 2012 Mustang, a 1967 Mustang, or a Windows 8 Metro version. So you can have a Windows 8 car, a 2012 car, or a 1967 car.
I vote for a newer yeah, model.
Me too.
But the thing is, it probably going to cost you two legs and an arm.
That's true. And you know, it's a thing with all
early technology.
It's becoming into a place where it hasn't been before, and that's a good thing. And it's just slowly enhancing our lives, and you know, I think that's what we're going to see in the future of technology, or it's going to be focusing more on what exactly the technology can do to make our lives better. And it's not always going to be simple computers like you're sitting at right now. So, anyways.
I like this part at the end. I'm reading a little arc at the end. On front and back of the car, separate Kinect cameras deliver skeletal tracking and live video feeds of the surrounding area and objects, and a Windows Phone can view those cameras remotely. You can even send messages to the audio system from afar. So if you see someone sitting in your car via the live feed, you can say, "Get out of my car!" And it will actually play through the public address system. Oh, the mind races with possibilities.
That's great.
No, what I think they should do is find a girl's voice and you do a prank and tell the guy to keep turning left. Turn left here. You missed the turn. Make a U-turn when possible. You didn't make the bloody U-turn, did you? I can see that from the car. Can you imagine? You'll either have someone like totally scared out of their behind, or You'll be recording this through the live feed and posting on YouTube, and he'd be the laughing stock of the universe for a while.
Yeah, until it happens in other cars as well. So, that's great. I love technology. So, So it's time for the March Skill of the Month update once again. Something we mentioned kind of earlier in the show. And for those of you guys who were thinking, I was naming out names in order of XP. So that means that Marking is in first with 3.1 million experience gained. Second place is Ara with 1.7. And third place is KJTH 2003 with 1.3 million XP gained. Or close to 1.4, actually. So it's a three-person race. Marking still winning. About a week left. I'm not sure if anybody can catch up at this point, but I'm sure if they did put in a good effort, they would be able to. So somebody in the top four there, you could potentially still do this. So if you're listening, keep fighting on, and let's make this race interesting once again. Achievos of the Week. Yes.
Achievos? Okay. First up, we have One Stone Pwn, who got 99 attack on March 21st.
Next up is Izant.
I have no idea how to pronounce
it. 99 defense, also on the 21st.
Lunestra got 99 prayer on also on March 21st.
That's yeah, I think that was bonus XP weekend. Or no, it wasn't. That was middle of the week. Interesting. Next up, Touchpad Pro on the 17th, bonus XP weekend with 99 Herblore.
Jay Mancini with 99 Herblore on March 16th.
And finally, Rice A13 with 99 Thieving on the 16th. So congratulations to you all, and good showing for bonus XP weekend. Sort of.
Huzzah. Yeah, so I guess they probably topped it off.
Yeah, that would be my guess for the ones that we got
in the
middle of the week. So, all right, do you have a pick?
Okay. No, you did.
So this week, for anybody who's listened in the past, will know that that Angry Birds is one of my favorite tablet games. So it's worth saying that this week, Angry Birds Space is out. So you can get that on pretty much any platform except Windows Phone for some reason. They don't have a Windows Phone version, but oh well. The whole idea behind Angry Birds Space is that it's Angry Birds and microgravity. So, for instance, if you shoot a bird, it will continue on the trajectory unless it enters a gravitational field of another object. So for anybody who's taken beginner physics will know that two objects are attracted to each other. So if it comes close enough to, say, a planetoid or something, it will enter that gravitational field and land on that planetoid. And sometimes you need to do this to take birds out that are on the planetoid. And sometimes you actually need to take birds out that are floating, I mean pigs out that are floating in space. So it's an interesting combination of targeting for space and targeting for on the surface. And you do need to use some of the mechanics of zero-G, including the ability of momentum to, for instance, send rocks flying in all kinds of directions to ensure that they'll hit their target and whatnot. Another interesting thing with this is that for some of them, if you do it right, you can actually put a bird into orbit. I think I had a bird orbiting this planetoid for about six times, for six orbits. So,
wow. Well, a little tidbit here on the description. After a giant claw kidnaps their eggs, the angry birds chase it into a wormhole and find themselves floating in a strange new galaxy surrounded by space pigs. Luckily, the angry birds have superpowers of their own. Featuring 60 interstellar levels on planets and in zero gravity, resulting in spectacular gameplay ranging from slow motion puzzles to light speed destruction.
Yep, that sounds about right. So, that's Angry Birds Space, available, of course, iOS, Android, pretty much everywhere except Windows Phone. So check that out if you like Angry Birds at all.
I haven't played Angry Birds in a while,
actually.
Oh, so
you've actually played Angry Birds in the past.
almost everybody has played Angry Birds at one point or another. Regardless if you had it or not, it was just something you just did.
Anyways.
Shane, do a barrel roll.
Did you just flip the bird? That was my angry bird. So it's now time to remind you guys that we are still looking for those informer applications that close at the end of the month. So if you're writing one and you haven't sent it in yet, please do send them in. I hope you guys are just taking your time to proofread them and write them, because I have not received any yet. So please do send those informer applications in. I know there are a few people that have shown interest in the past, so you can find the forum topic with the info global announced on the forums or in the update show notes at update.rsbmb.com. But those applications would be nice to have. So next up, Shane's Pictures. I'm getting some good entries for this. I think I'll be running it for another week or so. But essentially what this is a little picture gathering thing, because we're going to be updating some of our stat signatures with new images. So basically take a picture on RuneScape, send your picture in of whatever you want to equipment you have. Doesn't matter what type of equipment you have, whether it's basic or very expensive, just send it in. We do ask that you turn anti-aliasing on and turn the texture quality up as high as it goes, because we want these images to look good. And if the image we get doesn't look good, we probably won't be using it, because we want them to look excellent. So please do send that in. You can just head on over to RuneWire, use the hashtag Shane's Pictures, and then eventually it'll appear on a signature somewhere near you. And please remember to turn anti-aliasing on. Anti-aliasing that is not on does not help us, because it creates all kinds of jaggedies and it's just not as fun as if they were anti-aliased. Please do turn anti-aliasing on. I cannot stress that enough.
Maybe you should post a couple pictures of the pictures that you got.
Well, you can see all the pictures I got. Just RuneWire Shane's Pictures hashtag. Actually, I'll put a link to that in the show notes here, so you can just go into the show notes and see all the entries we've got so far. That's actually a good idea. Thank you for that.
Yeah, so you can take a look and Google everything else.
Are you going to submit any? Because I know you used to have your mask set. Do you still have your mask set?
All of it. I sold one.
Well, if you could post some with your masks, that would be good.
Okay.
So, Trek is going to do an example and do that. So, what did you do for bonus XP weekend?
Joy. We think we covered this the other week. I did some Herbalore. I haven't gone into it yet. I'm 1.4563 experience away from getting 81 farming. Got me to 95 Herbalore, and I got 87 fire making. Then I did something and I got one level. Can't remember what it was. So I basically just used up all my gold charms. And I was like, all right, I'm
done. I did something really that I shouldn't have done. I did entire ring crafting. I did about 3 hours worth. And suffice to say, that was enough for RuneScape ring crafting for me for a long time. And I didn't actually touch RuneScape again, I think, until late Tuesday. So that's the effect that bonus XP weekend had on me. Which is rather unfortunate, but I didn't get any levels. I think I got about, a decent amount of runecrafting XP. I don't remember exactly how much, but
I got one level of runecrafting and honestly, after doing the altar thing for an hour just to get one level and get like 1k XP per run. I'm like, I think runecrafting really needs a big ass update, because doing this is just not working.
And you know, there's some idea that there might be a runecrafting update to change the way it works dramatically later this year, but I don't know. I think it might have been mentioned at RuneFest. So, should be interesting to see what they got coming down the pipe for that. That's pretty much all I have to say for this week. Been doing some interesting programming stuff. Should be maybe seeing that next week, depending on how things go, if not the week after. That's about it for me. You have anything else you want to share?
Remember to vote in about 5 months.
And you want people to vote in August.
Yes. Yay, why not? You can vote in the primary thing.
Vote in primary June.
And then
that's
wait
in
a
June.
Wait.
No, it's
August
June.
Was the last month. Oh, okay then. Vote anyway. Have your votes all picked out and be happy with your selection. And as always, stay safe on RuneScape. Right. And don't
Very
do drugs.
Good. And remember to send in entries for Shane's pictures. And also, if you want to write for Informer, take a look for this Informer application. That said, we'll see you next week, everyone.